Hi, I just want to say thank you for talking today on intentional living about being a single parent. I know, of course, the focus is on marriage, but it doesn't always work out. And so it was really good to hear some support for single parents. Thanks a lot for all you do.
Hey, listen, we love single parents. Over the years, we have made it a priority to make sure we talk about single parents. I know we've talked about marriage a lot and the importance of marriage, but we know that marriages don't always work. There can be divorce, there can be death, separation, loss. And single moms and dads, God love you. You're facing the challenge alone. And we're here to encourage you on that journey of living intentionally in Christ. And if you want to join us, you have a comment you want to share on our comment line, you can do so by calling 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. And press number 2 to go to our comment line. Today, we're going to be taking some questions that people have left on our comment line and helping you think through being an intentional parent. I think let's begin with Savannah in New Mexico, who left a question for us.
Hi, my name is Savannah. I'm a single mother of 2. I have a 4-year-old little boy and a 10-year-old little girl. My children are my everything. I work really hard to provide for them and to give them everything that they have. But lately, it seems like my daughter is just going down the wrong road. I don't want her to keep making wrong decisions when she knows right. And I ask her why she makes these wrong decisions. And she says it's because she's bored. She's a latchkey kid. So she's home a lot by herself. I've tried everything with her. Prayers, talking. We've yelled. We've argued. It just isn't getting any better, and I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm a failure. We go to church, we pray, we read the Bible. We are a family that is close to God, but I don't know what to do.
Well, Savannah, listen, you need some help. I mean, you're going to have to take the initiative to reach out and get some help. Help for you, help for your kids. You can't do this alone. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're seeing symptoms with your children that are not healthy. And God love you. I think one of the things that I've seen in working with single moms and dads over the years is it's hard for you all to reach out and just admit I'm at the end of the rope and I need some help. Get plugged into a good church and just be very specific. You've got to reach out, Savannah. I don't know where you are or where you live exactly or what you're facing, but I do know this. I would encourage you today not to go one more day without reaching out for help. The Bible is very clear that two are better than one because they have a better return for their work. God put us into community. That's why he wants us to be involved in a church. That's why families are important. Communities are important. God never intended for us to be alone and to be a loner. And so for a single mom or dad who's doing this without help, it's just too much. And so I encourage you to reach out wherever you are today, Savannah, and get some help for yourself and for your kids. I mean, you need to get some practical help here. All right, we're talking single moms and dads today. You got some challenges. And I want to add a little bit later in the show because people ask me, single moms and dads ask about remarriage and should I get remarried or not? And I wrote a list of 10 reasons or whys not to get remarried, 10 things to consider. All right. And I'm pro-marriage, by the way, but there are 10 things you better think about before you make that decision. And I'll give those to you a little bit later in the show. And maybe we'll get those posted on the website as well today. All right. Speaking of posting on Facebook, we get comments coming in today. What do you do to relax, to de-stress your life? Mary says attending my kickboxing or self-defense class weekly. And then wants to thank her coach, Coach Decker. You know, I think we've had several calls. We've had comments about physical expression of stress, just getting it out, walking, exercising, weightlifting, kickboxing. And kickboxing probably gets some of the aggression out as well that you might be feeling in a healthy way. But sometimes just being able to physically get some things out can be a very healthy thing for you and for your development. All right, let's go to Leslie in Michigan, who wants to offer some encouragement today. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Thank you.
That's
appreciate
great.
Your call.
I just wanted to just put it out there that I raised 7 children myself. I ended up with 6 because I lost my son to a drunk driver.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, and I ended up a single mom. So in a moment during a morning when I was holding a 6-week-old baby, I looked around at my children and I said, we're going to embrace this because there's only me and you and God. There's no one else to interfere with what we're doing. So my train of thought for everyone is to remember you are a princess. Okay, marriage doesn't always work out for everyone, but you can have that bond with Jesus Christ himself, and you can find a whole lot of nourishment right there.
Mm.
He's never let me down. Through raising 7 children, he's never let me down. We were never hungry. We do have a place of worship that I love. My children played sports. They're very successful, every one of them. I'm
good.
Proud of all of them, extremely proud.
Mm.
You can face challenges with negativity, or you can get positive and embrace the moment and understand there is a father in your life, and he's a king. So serve a king.
Amen.
And that's how I got through it all. I'm not sure if that's good advice for anyone else, but for me, it was to choose to serve a king with every breath I take.
Well, that's you know, it's biblical. One of the verses we've used here, Ephesians 5:10, when you look at a modern translation, it talks about figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. In other words, living your life intentionally to bring him glory. A very powerful thing. Now, I want to ask you a question. Savannah left that comment about, you know, she's pretty discouraged, and I encouraged her as a single mom to reach out and get some help, have some connection with other people. Is that something you've done in raising your kids, that you also develop a support structure?
Actually, I made sure that they were involved in sports, but I was involved with them so that I could start communicating with other people around me. You know, you get kind of shut out when you're a single mom. So I decided to participate. It's a small word, but participation is really big in a single parent's life. You need to participate. And what I found with the church is I had the covenant of the church. I had protection. I had people to talk to. They taught my children, and I welcomed them, and they helped my children. So I have very strong young men, and they're now leading their families or our family and other families through Christ.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so I would encourage her to get with a really good church.
Yeah, and that reminds me that churches have an opportunity to have a very special ministry with single moms and dads. And I know I've talked to pastors over the years. It can be a difficult ministry, frankly. There can be a lot involved in having single people in a church, and when the church is sort of designed for families and couples and so on. But to have a ministry for single moms and dads, you know, parents' night out, having opportunity to do some babysitting, to give a break for parents can be a very powerful thing. Activities that are healthy for single moms and dads, very positive. Okay, Leslie, thank you for your call. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're talking single parents today. Your comments are welcome on our comment line, 888-888-1717.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these 5 devices.
God has a unique plan for our children despite us, which I'm thankful for. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Abraham had 2 sons. One was named Isaac, the other Ishmael. And when Sarah demanded that her maidservant Hagar's and Abraham's son Ishmael leave the camp, the story sort of fell over. Yet, as God so often does, the story was only beginning. It says in Scripture that God spoke up and said, I will turn the son of the maidservant into a nation also.
God writes the story of our lives through His grace. Don't write off your children too soon. Or maybe you grew up in a home where your parents didn't encourage you, didn't prepare you for the future. God has something very special for you. The story of your life is not over, even though your parents didn't help write the story for you. Live your life intentionally today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
You know, that's the Intentional Living Minute. Every day we post it on Facebook. And when you like our page, when you go to our Facebook, we'll make sure it comes to your news feed every day, Monday through Friday. Just go to Facebook.com/intentionalliving. If you're viewing on Facebook today, we welcome you. You can post your questions below, and we're glad you're joining us from wherever you're today. I'm glad to have you. By the way, as we're wrapping up this month now, this month of June, and just, you know, we got about 3-4 weeks to go, this is the end of our fiscal year. It happens to be that our fiscal year ends on June 30th. And so from a standpoint of putting the operation together and the budget, everything comes to the end of this month. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who have been supporting us so faithfully over this last year. And we want to finish, we need to finish this fiscal year strong. And my wife, Donna, and I want to share a gift with you through our ministry of Intentional Living. It's a beautiful work of art that my wife painted. She's a watercolor artist. And it's a painting. In fact, it's right behind me on the wall here. That's a tree. And we picked this particular painting because it shows the roots going deep into the ground and this tree growing beautifully. And upon it, we put 10 principles for you and I to finish strong in our life. Biblical principles that we'd encourage you to put up on the wall, get it framed. Every day, look at these points. I'll share some of them with you in the days ahead. And these points will be a reminder to you about the power of finishing strong. And I thought, how appropriate to offer this autographed print to you during our fiscal year-end special need. So your special gift today, whatever it is, we thank you for it. Your generosity is appreciated. Ask for it when you go to our website at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Katia posted on Facebook, a single mom, God love you. I'm reading this. It's a long post. And Katia is facing some really serious hardships at the moment, her health physically, struggling to work even part-time, a son that's 17 with special needs. She goes on to say, it's so hard, and it would be harder without having my church, friends, and the community to help for food bank and so on. I was recently 5 months without income after surgeries back-to-back, and my parents both passed. My older son deserted me. I'm having issues with my back still, need surgery. What should I do? Where do I go? You know, there are resources available in most of our communities. And I believe that a lot of resources go without ever being taken advantage of because people don't know that they're available. And so I would encourage you, Katie, I don't know what they all are in your community, where you are, where you're calling from, but I would encourage you to put some energy that you have. I know you got a limited amount of time and energy, but to put it into reaching out to say, where is some help available in this community? Help from social service agencies, nonprofit agencies, from churches, from the government. What kind of support is available? And make sure that you're unleashing all of those resources for your help, because that's why they're there, to make sure that you're starting there. And I would imagine, I don't know what community you're in, but the community you're in, if it's a larger community, probably has churches that have special ministries that can be available to help you. And I'd encourage you to seek it out. It's going to take some phone calls. It's going to take talking to some people, but I wouldn't sit and wait. One of the things we know about intentional living is not a waiting game generally. You see a goal, you see a need, and you fill it. And you trust God in the process, but you move forward intentionally. And we'll be praying for you, Katia. Let us know if you plug into that kind of resource. Because I know if we know what's going on, there'd be people ready to help you. Hey, today we're talking about single moms and dads and hearing from single moms and dads, how you're de-stressing your life, how you're dealing with the stresses in your life, and how you're doing it intentionally. We'd love to hear your comments either on Facebook or Facebook Live today, or you can call us 888-888-1717. Janet did that from Michigan and left a question on our comment line.
Hi, I have a very strong-willed child that he has followed after mother's footsteps. My husband walked out on us this past January, and it's been really tough to keep him under a good following. He has slipped up a few times, as well as I have, being the mother, to role model him. Just accepting that to do everything now and being a little tired and cranky myself has been a little tough sometimes to react too quickly in the wrong way to raise my son, who is very opinionated and defiant at certain times about bringing toys away and whatnot. And so just need some prayers and guidance with that.
Hey, Janet, listen, moms raising sons, it's so important because you're setting the picture of what a woman is like for your son. And as he sees you being strong and confident and making sure you're being the kind of parent that follows through with him, that's a gift for him. You don't let this kid push you around. I mean, he may think he can get away with things. Got a mom and, you know, you're tired. You got a lot going on. The best gift you can give him is holding your ground, being firm in a loving way with him. Here's what I would recommend. As a mom with sons and daughters, single moms, as they start to grow older, what you have to lay in front of them is a constant picture of how do you see your future? What is it, son, that you want to be in a year or two or 5 years? What do you see if you're a Christian? What do you see in your life? What do you think God would have you be or become? What are the things, in other words, we live today in a culture that seems to be so focused on the immediate, what's in front of us right now, that we lose sight of the long term, what's going to be next year and 5 years down the road. And you say, well, can you prove that? Yes, just look at retirement savings by people in this country. The number of people who get to a point of retirement age when they can't keep up with their work, and how many have not saved anything. There weren't intentional in little ways to look to the future. There's plenty of research about the fact that we tend to discount the future in the present. And so if we can start to train our children to prepare for the future and start thinking for the future, what do you do with a teenage son who's acting like this? You say, hey, listen, you're not always going to be here. 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to be on your own. And I'm not going to be there to cover the bills or, you know, cover what's going on. You're going to have to make a decision to live with it then. And so when I hold you accountable, I'm doing it because 3 years from now, you're going to be making this decision yourself. And then start asking the kinds of questions. What do you think you're going to be doing when you're 18 years old, when you're 20 years old? Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you think God has for you? And when you do that, you're starting to help your children look beyond the immediate and start seeing something in the future, which is really critical. All right. Do we have time for Lee? Let's get Lee on from Arizona, who left a comment for me as well.
Hi, Randy. Well, I'm a single father, two boys, and I struggle like every other single father and single parent to try to maintain a balance between paying the bills and providing them with what they need. So my question is, as a Christian, when things get very, very stressful around paying bills and taking care of the things that are responsible, what does God say about staying trusting in His word when things are more immediate, like taking care of bills, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't think you ask it, but I think what you were asking was, what about tithing? You know, when things are really tough, should I put all the money into paying the bills? You know, this is a question we hear a lot of. And it's a matter of faith. It really is. I mean, it comes back to, it does, in my view, it doesn't come back to being a restrictive, God doesn't love you anymore. He's looking down from heaven and saying, hey, you didn't give 10%. It's a matter of trusting God. At what point do we really trust God to be able to take care of our needs? Now, that means you've got to be a good steward. You've got to be wise in what you do. And here's what I say to people. If right now your faith is 2%, then be a 2% person. But if as your faith grows, as you become more obedient and your faith grows, to grow to the point where you're saying, I'm going to trust God and see what He'll do. Test Him, it says in Scripture. and see what I'll do. Here's what we sometimes do, though. We test God, and then we do stupid things, see? And what we need to do is to do smart things. Do the next right one thing. Put a plan together, look at it, trust God for it, and then step out in faith and see what he does, okay? We'll be back with more on single parenting in just a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I believe that when these aha moments occur in our life, they're very powerful, but they're also very dangerous. Because all of us have had moments in time where we thought that we were given something special and we realized later that it was wrong, it was an error, right? And it says in Scripture, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so as we talk about aha moments today, I want to make sure that everything is under the umbrella, that we better test it to make sure that it's of God. Because if it's not, we can get in big trouble. Boy, that's so true. You know, that's the teaching for this month. I was thinking about the fact that in life, most of us have two kinds of moments. We have aha moments, awareness moments, where also, aha, you know, I learned something. It could be something biblical. It could be something in a relationship or something about yourself. And if we don't deal with the aha moments correctly and in a positive, intentional way, we're more likely to have the next kind of moment, an oh no moment. Oh no. Oh no. See? And so this month, the teaching for members is on aha moments and how they can change your life. My encouragement is to have more of those. And for members, watch for it. It'll be coming your way during this month of June. And for new members, when you join us this month, we'll make sure you receive this as well. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, click on donate and sign up. Okay? We're talking single parenting today. A lot of interesting comments and questions. God love you. And I also have some other information I want to share before we wrap it up about remarriage. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. But first, here's Liberty, who left a comment on our comment line.
Hi there, Dr. Randy. My name is Liberty, and I'm currently dating a single parent. And I was just calling to ask, he's a single father of three and a widower. As his potential future spouse, what do I do to support him in this time? How do I most work around his schedule? What would single parents need from their potential future spouse and their datingship partner?
Well, let me share. I want to share two things. In fact, you beautiful lead in to what I wanted to share about what I called why to not get married. I'm not encouraging you to say you shouldn't get married, but these are some questions we all need to ask ourselves before we get married. I'll get to those in a moment. But for you specifically, while you're dating, remember dating is not a real world experience. You're getting into a relationship where you're going to be facing hurt. People have brought hurt into this. Blended families, I've dealt with so many blended families over the years. They think they're entering into the relationship with their eyes wide open, but not really. So just get everything out. Be in unity together. If the two of you are not in complete unity and agreement on raising your kids and how you're going to raise your kids and how you're going to deal with disagreements, if you don't get this stuff resolved in the future, I can promise you when it comes up, and it will come up later, you're going to be in disagreement with each other. So I'd encourage you now to make sure you talk those things through. Let me say to single parents right now, if you're thinking about getting into a relationship, boy, I really caution you to be very careful. Your job right now is to raise those kids. You've got a lot of responsibility. And you set up expectations when all of a sudden there's a new man showing up at the house or a new woman showing up at the house. And that can create a lot of disruption. And so generally over the years, we've recommended make sure you're taking care of job one, which is raising those kids. But here are 10 things. I'll go through them very quickly. We'll get them posted on Facebook as well. But here are 10 things that you need to consider before you get married. and ask yourself these questions. Are you unwilling to put the needs of another person above your own? Now, if you're being honest with yourself and your answer is, yeah, I wrestle with that, then you better wait. Don't get married. Are you easily offended? Do you carry grudges? And are you unwilling to forgive? If you wrestle with that, then don't get married. Are you an abusive person? Are you the type of person that you might be, or you're dating a person that you say, wow, there's some mental or emotional abuse going on here, just things that I know are a problem. Don't assume they're going to go away later, because they typically don't. Are you willing to commit? Number five, do you have unresolved addiction problems in your life? Don't take those into your marriage and assume they're going to get better. Is your career the most important thing in your life? If it is, then marriage wouldn't be a priority for you, and it'll show up. Do you share the same beliefs? This is a key one, number seven. If you and this person you're dating don't share the same beliefs, the same values, the same life priorities or vision for the future, it would be a dumb thing to get married. In fact, not only dumb, it would be anti-God's intention for you. The Bible's clear. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't assume later when we get married, the beliefs are going to change, the values are going to change, the life priorities are going to change. It might. That'd be wonderful. We have those happy land stories that happen, but generally that isn't reality. Number nine, are you unwilling to agree on an approach for handling finances, children, and life decisions? If that's the case, then don't get married. And then number 10, If you expect your spouse to change after you get married, you are in la-la land, right? Because that just ain't going to happen generally. All right, with that happy note, we're at the end of our show today. And I hope you'll spend time thinking about some of these thoughts. I want you to know that our programs are always available for you on demand at intentionalliving.com. TheIntentionalLife.com, or you can go anywhere and find our podcast, by the way. Wherever you have your podcast, we're there, The Intentional Living Broadcast. I hope you'll find it there. Also, again, here we're at the beginning of June. This is the last month in our fiscal year. We wrap up on June 30th, and I'm asking you to really pray about joining us in support. If you could help us close out this month strong, we'd appreciate it. All you have to do is go to TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com, and we appreciate it. All right, Facebook, thank you for joining us. Radio, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.